But the best thing I find is to go to Yahoo still, which is actually run by people. There are real people who take the trees and put them on, which is why it's so. Submit there, and there's another thing called the Open Directory. It's actually what Google uses when you're looking by category rather than searching. Like you can go to directory or something, and it shows you lists by, you know, sports and all this other stuff.
So what was the second thing? Sorry,
it's called the Open Directory. The actual URL of the main one is dmoz.org, DMOZ. Put that up here, actually. And that other thing I was talking about was, I'll leave that up here. Okay, cool. Yes?
So do you put anything else up on your website in relation to your skills to attract people?
Anything you think people might want to know, I say you put it up there. Put samples of your work, put here are my clients, put here is my academic background, these are the things I'm interested in. I like cats.
And in your title, writer and editor isn't too broad. Like if you should put up something more on your...
If you do something specific,
yeah,
you can put it in. And it's not just the title. And the title is the key thing. It's like the title. But on your web pages, just write stuff about what you do. If you do a lot of medical editing, or you do a lot of atlases or whatever else, put that in there. You'll talk about, think of it like a resume. You can slap your resume straight up there. Format it for the web and stick it up there. And save it out of Word as an HTML web file and put it up. And those things will make their way out there. You shouldn't necessarily count on people finding you on the web. They do find me, and I've gotten some work out of there, but it's not the big job. As I said, it's more for when people already have found out about you and they want to know more. So put more there. You know, start off with your business card, but add more. Yes? That's actually a good point. I don't, but I think I should. I started off not listing them because they varied, and I thought I was charging too little, and I was, and now I charge more, and I changed them, and I have different rates for different people. So now I can, whenever people email me, the first thing I have to say to them is, my base rate's $50 an hour, which it is, plus GST. But sometimes I do lower. Sometimes you want to pay more, I'll take more. Or it's for different things. And I could just as easily put that on my website. Because that's the first thing people want to know, other than, are you any good? So I'm probably going to put it there. Yeah. I think, yeah, sure, why not? Because if they don't find it, they're going to have to email you. And, you know, if it's an extra step, there's no point in, I'm thinking now, there's no point in trying to hide it, because that just makes you look like you're hiding it, which you are. You know, if your rate is fair, it would be a good thing, because if people come in and they say, well, that's too much, then they won't bother. And if it's truly the least you would charge or the average you would charge, if you say, if you're honest and what your rate is, then the people who contact you will be people who are in your rate range. You know, they may say, well, I can't afford that. Will you take $30 an hour? Say yes or no. And if they absolutely won't accept that kind of rate, if they want to pay you 10, just as well they go away without ever talking. So I don't think there's any problem. But, you know, you may think differently. If you don't want to put it there, great. That's fine, too. I didn't. It's still not there. I don't have it there. I don't have testimonials, either. I could get people to write nice things. And I probably should. That would be good. But I haven't done it yet. But again, you can always change it. You can always add it. That's in my to-do list, and eventually I'll put it on there. But I've got to put the bus up there first.
What sort of things do you not put on your website for your personal safety?
Well, I don't have my address on my website. It's not that hard to find because it's actually part of my website registration. If people who know what they're doing look up penmachine.com to see who owns it, they can find my address there, but you can make that a PO box. You know, that's not so much for me, but my wife is not too comfortable with having my address there. So you may not want to put your street address unless it's a business address that you want to publish. Put that on your business card. I wouldn't say bad things about previous clients on the website, even if they're true. If it's really severe, it might be worth diplomatically phrasing if you want. But You never know who knows them. So, you know, you need to be judicious in what you're doing. Think of it, it's a completely public forum. Anything you put on there is all over the world if it wants to. So anything you don't want there, you don't want to put your weight on there, right? You don't want to put your age. You don't want to put, you may not even want to put your name. You may want to say, I'm a company and contact us. I don't recommend that, but if you don't want to have your identity out there, or if you're part of a group of people, or whatever reason, you know, there are many things you may want to report. Anything that may be personally compromising, or if you're not comfortable with people knowing where you are, you can just as easily say, you know, I'm a writer and editor, and not even say what city you're in.
I saw a website that said, this is what I do, this is what I don't do.
Yeah.
And, you know, in public relations, we always do, you leave out the negatives. So
yeah.
We never say, no, we don't. You know, you just leave out what you do. So, do you have a recommendation about that? Is it good to say what you do,
well,
what you don't do?
You probably know better than I do in PR. I would not be uncomfortable saying things you don't do, especially if there's things you get asked to do all the time you don't like. I don't like making indexes. Particularly want to get hired at it because I'm not good at it. I don't generally type from I don't type from tape. I don't take dictation. I don't transcribe. I could. If I was desperate, I would take the default. So maybe you might want to say I don't do that. Or
I don't do windows.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if it's something, I wouldn't just stick up a list of stuff you don't do, because maybe you might do some of it. But if you keep getting asked about things, people email you or they talk to you all the time about, could you do this for me, and you're just not interested, or you don't have the skills, you don't want to do it, say, you know, here's a bunch of stuff I do, and people always ask me to do this, but here's a link to somebody else who does.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to say.
Yeah, that would be right, yeah.
You know, and don't say, contact me, and I will point you to somebody else. Take
right.
The link right there.
Yeah.
That's the
right direction, like LinkedIn.
That's what the web is all about. The web is about links. You should have as many links as you can think of. So I'll get to that. Yes?
Why do you have never throw web pages away?
Okay.
What do you mean by that?
I'll get there.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you right now. The thing about a web is the web and this whole Google thing is once you put up a website, you never know when people are going to start linking to you. Right? They might find something on your site that they like. Something really obscure, a picture of the bus. They say, hey, here's a picture of a bus getting towed. And I have a bus being towed club. They have pictures from all over the world of buses being towed. And here's one. And they point to that page. If you, down the line, decide, oh, let's just do the picture and take it away, that link breaks. And you never even knew it was there. Maybe three people a year come to your site. Well, so even if you move it to somewhere else and you change the address, this is one of the disadvantages of that domain direct thing, because after the first page, the pages usually have the same address as they really do. So if you change internet providers, those links aren't good. So you may not be able to avoid it, but if you can, you should. If you put something up, you should leave it there. Or if you want to take it off, redirect that page to somewhere else. There are ways to, you know, put a link on there, or there's automated ways to do it, whatever. Essentially saying, this page is gone, go here instead, or go to my home page, or whatever. You don't want to get the nasty 404 error not found, or that big Microsoft thing. So it couldn't find the page, try MSN, search, and link up. You don't want that. Because as soon as that happens, they're gone. So if you put something up, even if you think it's stupid later, you can take it down, but leave something there with that address. And that's why I'm saying start simply and have a plan. Doesn't have to be a complicated plan. What I mean is, a website is basically a folder on a computer. Either yours or somebody else's. It's a folder full of files. So if you just start sticking files into the folder, and just keep sticking files in as you add things, you're going to end up with a folder that's a huge and long list of files. Which is fine. Your computer can handle probably millions of them, thousands of them, trouble. But it's going to be really hard if you want to find something, or if you want to reorganize how things work. So, for example, let me see if I can, even for this little presentation,
when you're talking about folder, you mean like a cache, right?
Well, no, I'm talking when your internet provider or whoever runs your website gives you a place to put your files for the web. It's a folder. It's not on your computer, but it's somewhere else.
No.
They may call it a directory, they may call it whatever. But it's basically a folder full of files. So this is what the folder full of files for this presentation is. These are all pages that you've been seeing. They're just, they have HTML endings, but they're hidden right now. And then there's a couple other folders. Here's one called images. I put all the pictures in there. And on my website, there's a folder called images, and it's got hundreds of pictures. They're all the little graphics that show my picture and all the little things you can click. Anything that's an image goes in images. Sort of. I've got photos and other places. So thinking of, you know, your editors, you're organized. You know how to do an outline. Think of your website as an outline. Set up, you know, if you have images, and if you're going to do something about the EAC meeting, I'm now going to have a directory on my site where you go to penmachine.com/EAC, and you'll get this stuff. And anything else about the EAC, I'm going to put in there, and I'm going to try and set it up in some sort of structure. So that's what I mean by a plan. All you have to have is, don't just start stuffing stuff in there. You start your site simply, and then have some sort of plan of how you're going to make it grow, even if it never grows before. So simply, what I mean here is, this was one of my first websites back in, this was December 1998. And it was a whole site, pretty much. It was actually set up at a place where this was all a template. So they had a thing for service rates, and I think I put them there, because that was built in, you couldn't actually get out. But this, you know, profile, contact, inquiries, this page, and these were three were links to some other page, and that was the whole thing. And, you know, it's not bad. It had some structure to it as to how things went. It had the basic things about what you can do, and it had this picture, which is really blotchy, but that's what I had. So, when I later moved to another place, I built this site. This is from some other time, 98. But I used the same picture. That's the only picture I had. At the time, digital cameras were hard, scanning was awkward, I didn't have a scanner. I happened to get this one picture scanned, so there it was. And again, you know, there's like, whatever, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages. That was my site, it was 5 pages. And it was less than 200K, everything else. And, you know, I had this big long essay, and my writing's important, and blah, 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 blah. These little links, and links to, here are some web browsers you can find, just because I happen to have all these links for these weird web browsers. So if somebody happened to have an Amiga and they wanted a web browser, they could come to my site. Not particularly useful, but hey, there it is, and there's my email address, when I edited it. All that stuff. So that was what my site looked like in 1998. Here was my little news. I had to do this manually. This is what I just did recently. And, you know, this link no longer works because they don't have the website, but whatever. So that was what I had on my site. This is a slight variation of the first website I ever built on my site. So I wish I could show you my homepage now, because some of that same stuff is still there. The clients, pages, expertise, a lot of the stuff looks totally different, but the content is almost exactly the same. And this is 5 years later.
Can you go back to that page, please?
Yeah. Oops, sorry. This one or the next one?
No, the other one. Oh, this down, when you're what you've done lately.
What I've done. Oh, yeah, here we go. Right? So here, I've got links. This links to their site, and this links to them.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. You've got a link.
Do you have links to your clients?
Sure, if they have a website.
And they don't object to your having a link?
Why would they?
Love it.
If you have a website, you have to assume people are going to link to you, and you don't know who they are. If you put up a website, you're saying, link to me.
And the more links you get, the better. Really.
You don't need permission, because that's the way the web works. The web is all about links. That's why it's the web. If you put up a website and you don't want people to link to you, take down the website. That's the only way you can do it. Yes?
So then when you were saying before, don't throw anything away.
Yeah. I wish I could say that was true, but it's not. Because I was hosted by this company called Angel Fire, and it was free. Totally free. After a while, they started popping up ads when I came to the site and had an alert me, so I moved it to TELUS, my internet provider, and so I got the internet through them. And what that meant is that this was going away. The thing is, I just left it there. And I think what I did was I put a redirect saying, this is not my website anymore, go to this other place. And I just left it there until they took it down. After a while, we were supposed to pay for it or something else happened, and I just said, okay, forget it, it's fine. You know, let it go. But it was like a year or a year and a half, and by that time, Google and the search engines and everything else have followed that link to my new site.
So let's say what you're saying now is people will link somewhere.
Yeah.
They for instance that they
yes.
Someone links to your notebook gets into that data.
Well, they can't link to that specifically. All they can link to is well, this is not it, but it was whatever the address was. They can link to the page. All you can link to is a page. Whatever appears here is what you can link to. So you can't link to this word. You can link to the page that contains it.
They may be talking about this their website from here, but because you're updating your latest news all the time, it's not actually there.
No. It's not. One of the things I do now is I have what's called a weblog. It's a constant list of stuff that goes on. And what you can do, people who know about weblogs and people who link a lot, there's always an archive. And you point to the archive version, because that doesn't go away. You just point to the home page. Well, if you point to my homepage, there's a little search box, and if you search for the word, you'll probably find it. So it may be two steps. But if they link to the right place, it'll be one step. Yes?
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you mentioned blogging and that. Can you put, like, in your website or on your blog, can you do, like, a link to a video clip, for example?
You can.
Like, you can, but that's, like, you have to assume then your user has the...
There are certain formats that you can sort of assume people have. Real video, most people have. Apple's QuickTime video, most people have installed.
But you don't have to include the coding?
No. Usually, you could put a little badge saying, if you don't have the video thing, click here and you can go there. Usually, the way those things work is, the way they've built the technology is, if you try to link to a movie and you don't have the thing, it should go immediately saying, here's what you get.
But they have that. You don't have to install
it. No, that's not part of the order. You can put a little link saying, if you don't have Acrobat Reader, here's a link.
Yeah.
And put it next to you. That's what it's doing. But, yes, Mark.
I just want to let you know there's 10 minutes left.
Okay, well, I better be quick here. There's a bunch of stuff that I won't get to. That's fine. Here's an important thing. Cool or usable? Don't try to be too cool. Cool websites aren't games. Usually they're done by people who really have a lot of fun with them. Often they are not very usable. They look great, but they're really hard to do anything. And that's because of these two things. Jacob Nielsen is a big web guru guy. And this is his law. Users spend most of their time, almost all of it, at other sites.
Of course.
Not at your site. So they're not going to bother to learn all the complexities of how your site works if it's complex. It should work the way, it doesn't mean it has to look like every other site, but links should look roughly what they look like. You know, if it looks like a button, people might try and look at it. If it's blue and underlined, they'll try to link to it. They'll try to click on it. That stuff makes sense. If everything is totally different, they'll come to your site and go, whoa. And unless it's really cool and really interesting for what they want to do, they're not going to bother trying to learn anything new about it. This is another thing. If you're a designer or you know a designer, you're getting a designer to do things, remember that a great print design is likely to be a lousy web design.
So
yes? Yes, that works both ways. One way to think of it is, think of a big newspaper, a typical newspaper page. A web browser is like a little window like this. It's going around the newspaper page. It reads like one column at a time. So don't design your website as if it were a whole newspaper. That's not the way people can read it on the web. And I don't know if it ever will be, because the web is about linking and moving between things. It's more about the feel of how you get through things than the look of what it looks like.
So do you have any suggestions on how to hybridize?
Well, I wouldn't call it hybridizing. You can. What you need is sort of less stuff. Don't try and cram everything onto one page. Put it on multiple pages. And borrow from other sites, not necessarily their content, unless they let you. Look at the design, look at sites you like, that you enjoy, and find easy to use, and figure out why. Get somebody to figure out why they're fun. And then borrow, copy it. The way people learn initially, like me, to build websites is, you can go to any website and you can do what's called view source. That's the code that makes that page up. It's not actually that complicated. Like something here, it looks kind of weird, but for example this, anything that's got an H1 at the beginning and a slash H1 at the beginning is a first level headline. And there are sites on the web that you can do. So what I did is I went to tutorial sites and then I started looking at other people's code. I went, oh, that's how you do that. more just copied it and pasted it and played it. Yes? Well, yeah, and the thing is, you know, look at other sites and find out what you like and what you might find useful, because it probably is. And I have some examples here that I can't get to, but it's perfectly possible to have a site that's very usable, very easy to get through, very easy to find everything, but it's not useful. It is useless because there isn't anything there for you. And the one I had linked to but I can't show you is it was just a template. You know, everything was that boring Ibsen and Greek type stuff. And it looked great, it was easy to get around, but there was no content there because it's all just a sample for what you could make a website. So it's nice and usable, but it is not useful. You need to be both. It's no useful site can be unusable, but it's perfectly possible to be very usable and friendly, but not usable. And I have some examples. And one thing I wanted to talk about here, can't see his site. It had a really good thing of some work that he'd done. Here are some sentences that were really awkward, and here's how I made them better. It was a nice site. There were two problems. One, if you came to that page from a search engine, there was no way to get back to the main page, other than by cutting off the address at the top and hoping it worked. And the other thing is that the email at the bottom was murraysomething@home.com, which is what you used to get if you were using Shaw or Rogers Cable or At Home in the States, and they went broke. So those addresses don't work anymore. It still exists somewhere. But if you send an email to that email address, you would never get a response to that. So it's a great page, got some good stuff on it, but you'll never reach it. Do that.
You said something a moment ago about tutorials?
Yeah.
Like tutorials? What are some of those?
I don't know offhand. You can go to Google or Yahoo or whatever and say web tutorial or HTML tutorial, and there's hundreds of them. And I picked one, and it was good. Yes?
I'm thinking that you have some computer knowledge, but
yeah.
Not very much. Is it something that you should pay some money to somebody else to help you with?
It's, you know, unless you want to get into this, and it's not hard to do.
You just want to
get a website. There's no harm in hiring somebody. The thing is, you want to make sure that you need to talk to them about what it is you want, and minimize, to start off, I'd say two things. Minimize what's up there to start with. Don't get this huge, big project going and get them to do some huge, massive thing. Make sure it's easy to use, and try and find a way where you can update it without having to call this person and get them to do it. And one of the things that I was talking about a weblog tool. I use a thing called Blogger.com. There's a bunch of others. What that is, it's just a very easy way to put content on your site. And essentially, you set up some stuff, and then all you have to do is use any web browser anywhere in the world, go to their site, sign in, and then type stuff, and go post, and it goes to your website. And it does automatic archiving, puts them in reverse chronological order, does all that stuff for you. So you can be anywhere. You can be in an internet cafe on the Machu Picchu Trail in Peru, if they exist, because I've got an email from there. You can be anywhere there's an internet connection, and you can post something to your website, and it's 2 minutes or less. Being able to do something like that is really useful. Yes?
3 minutes.
Yeah, 3 minutes, okay.
I was wondering if you had any sense of what that would cost. Do you have somebody to
help set up? It varies. You could get a basic site done, I would say, probably for a few hundred dollars in that range. Mm-hmm. Maybe cheaper, but the chances you get a good one are slim. Or you could try and go to some of the sites that you sort of build ones with some wizard stuff or whatever. Yes.
Well, so I think that you would have to really, you'd have to sit there with the person who's doing it and know what they're doing, because if you don't, then when you go to, if you don't upgrade it all the time, if you don't keep constructing all the time, it might as well not even.
Well, it's useful to know that, but if you don't want to, you can get them to set something, a basic page up, In fact, even if you go to blogger.com, there's a way to just set up a page through their own servers with their templates, and all it is just a place for you to start spewing stuff out. And you can do that and never have to talk to anyone.
And that's free.
It's free, yeah. So you can do that too. Yes? Yes.
I took a Dreamweaver course, that was my course last year, and I've totally forgotten everything about Dreamweaver, because I'm not learning a foreign language. But I remember the simple stuff.
Yeah. Well, the simple stuff is all you need.
Yeah, so the more complicated, the easier it is to
forget.
Yes, yes.
Really
good ideas for Dreamweaver.
Yes.
Because I see really professional looking websites with no problem.
Well, try and write your own content. Even if what you do is you take a big piece of paper and you make it, you say, this is what I want my website to look like, roughly. Never mind the color, this is what I want over here, this is what I like, I'm copying this from my website. Here, this is what I want. They'll love that, because they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but they don't just take it and they copy it over. The point is they're making a mistake.
Oh, they will, yeah. You have to look at it before it's ready to go. You can't just say, okay, here, we'll do that. It's an interactive thing. It's just like somebody coming to you as an editor. They're not just, they're not going to say, okay, here's my manuscript, go make a book. Five. Maybe not. Yes.
You said something about posting large files on your website.
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, I put movies up there. I put big photographs. I put, I've done a big editing job for somebody on a huge computer manual. It's got a whole bunch of diagrams in it, and the compressed file is 22 megabytes in size. So I put it on my website instead of having for an email. It's not common that you need to do that.
And can you make that hidden?
Well, you can hide it. You can put passwords on a directory, or you can put it in a place that's so obscure nobody would be able to guess it. The only way Google can find anything is if it's linked from somewhere else. So if you put up something on your website, and there's no link to it on your homepage, you just send people the address, and then take it down 2 days later. Maybe nobody will ever see it. Yes?
Oh, I was just going to say, I see two publishers coming out of the year in the summer, students are finishing all their
My last point that we're running out is try and make it simple. As I said, you could start with a scan of your business card or just typing in the information from your business card. That's a good way to start it. You can build as time goes on. That's what I did. And what you do is avoid all the flashy technologies. Your designers may say, oh, we should do this with a flash animation or a splash screen and all this and Java and this and that and movies. No. Start off with just some text. You can figure out what the colors are and all that. Because web clients are becoming more diverse. There's sort of a feeling that everybody's just using Internet Explorer on Windows like this is. But what if you have a Plum Pilot? That's what your website will look like. Black text on a green screen. Or what if you have a web phone? That might be your site. I can't connect to these today. What if somebody's got a new browser? Apple computer just released a brand new web browser, totally different from all the other browsers. It works pretty much with most sites. But all of a sudden, all these web designers are going, oh my god, all the Mac people have been using this other web browser I've never heard of. And if they were designing for Internet Explorer on Mac and Windows, then suddenly it breaks and this new browser is like Safari. They got a problem. Whereas if they built it more simply, and the thing that I had back here that you can't see, there's this page, an archive from 1992 when the web was invented. The guy who invented it, Trent Berners-Lee, put up a page with links to all 26 websites that are currently in the world. And it's still there. They've archived it. And it still works. It's just black text and a white background. And most of the links don't work. But the page still works. You can still read it because it's really simple. And if you do that, chances are anybody trying to reach it will still be able to read. So, I'll get to my end slide here. We're pretty much done. Every editor needs a website, and you can make a good one, especially if you make a simple one. Start simple and build from there. Or don't. Start simple and just leave it. Put your email address and your phone number, your name, that's it. And that's fine. That's better than nothing.